Okay, I think we'll go on to the Yisrael Shining. But actually, we have to, well, first of all, welcome to the third of the continuing series of the Yud Gimel Ikrim of the Rambam, 15 Principles of Faith of Maimonides. And last week we covered the first principle, the last 2 weeks we covered the first principle. And this week we're actually slated to cover the next principle, which is the second principle. But I'm going to have to speak a little bit about the third principle too. Okay. The question which I want to raise is the order of the principles of the Ikrim. I'm not aware of anyone who speaks about it. That doesn't mean I haven't surveyed the entire literature. But the order is very strange. And let me explain to you why. The Yisrael HaRishon is the Metzias of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the existence of God. And that is something which we spoke about the last 2 weeks is proven in the Rambam. The Rambam proves it in the beginning of the second chapter, the beginning of the second section, second chelek. And the Rambam proves the Metzias, and also the Rambam proves that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this Metzias, this existent being, which is the necessary cause, which is the most perfect being and the most necessary cause that we spoke about, the Rambam proves this in the first chapter, once again in the second section, and he also proves that he doesn't have a guf, he doesn't have a body, he's not corporeal. And I'm going to read the Lashon of the Rambam. This Lashon of the Rambam is in the translation into Hebrew, Lashon HaKodesh. This is the Schwartz edition, which I find the most reader-friendly. The Pinnas edition is not as reader-friendly. And that's number one. Number two, since the Yud Gimel Ikrim that we're reading is actually in Lashon HaKodesh, so, I mean, if I compare the Lashon HaKodesh with the Pinnas edition, I think we'll be lost. But this way we can really be... It's not the same translator, but I assume that they both have it in the... You know, we put the chazakah that they translated properly. The Rambam says, in his proof of both the existence and the incorporeality of God, the Rambam says in the first chapter of the second section, this is page 261 in the Schwartz edition, the Rambam says, Huchach Eifo, it's been proven, Hachacha Moifsin, we've proven it rigorously, Shemagagol na b'tnua nitzchis tamidis, if the question was in the sphere is eternal motion, that's related to the turning of the world. So therefore it has to be, it was proven, that the first cause, yaloi guf, will not be a body, loy koyach al guf, and will not be the power of anybody, klal, in any way, bo'ifish lo tiyem mania zu tnua, and this first cause will not have any motion, lo be'etzem lo be'mikra. Right. And then he says, and v'lo li'anita l'chaluk, you can't divide it, v'lo li'shinu, you can't change. Like Rambam says, we explained in the seventh and fifth assumptions, and that's a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So, like this. That's what the Rambam says in the Ma'ar Nevuchim. So, you would think, the Yisoid HaSheni, the second principle in the Ikrim, is Yechuda Yisoleh, that Shizeh Shu Ila Sakoel, this he who is the necessary cause of the world, Echad, is one. And that's what you say to Shlishi. The Shlilu Shagashu Shimenu, right? He's not corporal. Shizeh Echad Eno Guf, Loikoyach Shal Guf, right? He won't have Tenua or Menucha, Loba Etzel Mamikra. In the second principle, the Rambam is quoting what he proves in the theorem in the first principle. In other words, what was proven in the proof of God's existence, which is his incorporeality, is actually the third principle. The language is exactly the language. Gof, akach gof, lo b'mikra, right? Lo b'etzem. Why did the Rambam stick in the Yisoid HaSheni? The Yisoid HaSheni also speaks about God's incorporeality, but seems to speak about it on a higher level. He's echad, he's one, and he's not one in which he's not like one species, like one person, but it's an abstract type of unity. In other words, why did the Rambam seems to have
The second principle, assert a higher unity. And the third principle, assert a lower unity. Now, should you say, well, no, it's not a high low unity. So I'm going to prove to you that it's a higher unity and a lower unity. Why? Because in Perek Nun Hei, in the Meir Levuchim, in the first Chelek, in the first section, Perek Nun Hei, chapter 55, which I guess we didn't send out, chapter 55, there the Rambam, Maimonides, speaks about, right, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't, right, there he speaks about the incorporeality of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, he's not Gashmi, he's not physical. And then the Rambam actually uses psukim el mit damyuni va'ashfer el mit damyuni kel v'umat debusaruchel. He brings psukim that are brought in the yud gimel ikrim in the third klal, in the third principle, the third yesod. In other words, chapter 55 in the Moreh Nevuchim, this is the first section, right? Seems to have brings the same psukim and the general ideas as we see in the third principle, so the shlishi. Now,
what does that prove again?
Wait, I haven't got to the end of the proof. Right? That's in chapter 55. The Rambam, right, begins with God's incorporeality in 55, let's say. As he speaks about before that too a little bit, we'll see. In chapter 57, the Rambam speaks about alata'arim, on accolades, on descriptions of God. He says that omak yosemi masha kadam, even deeper than we spoke about before that, which I assume is chapter 55. That's on page 139. Then, in Perek Nun Ches, which is chapter 58 in the Meir Levuchim, the Rambam says omak yosemi masha kadam. This is even deeper. In other words, the Rambam develops his negative theology, the incorporeality of God of Kodesh Baruch Hu. He actually does it in three stages. This stage one, which is chapter Nun Hei 55, because the language in Nun Hei 55 corresponds to the Yisod HaShlishi, which corresponds to the incorporeality of a Kodesh Baruch Hu that's proven in the proof in the first chapter of the second Chelek. And then after that, there's a second stage, which is chapter 57, page 139, where the Rambam says even deeper than the first case. And then, in chapter 58, the Rambam says even deeper, right? Which is page 142. And there in page 142, he speaks about the concept of Echad, one. It's not like one species and like one person. The number one has nothing to correspond to any enumeration of one that we use in the physical world. That's on page 145 in the Schwartz edition. Okay? So we see clearly that the Rambam understood that in the Meir Levuchim, it comes out very clear, and the Rambam says explicitly, deeper, he says, that the Yisod HaSheni is deeper than Yisod HaShlishi. So therefore, I mean, we can argue, I guess, maybe from Chal V'Chomer, or for example, you know, when Mishnah says, you know, Lamali, in other words, if in fact the Rambam has asserted Yisod HaSheni, the second principle, is the concept of unity, which is the higher, deeper concept of incorporeality, why should the Rambam in the Yisod HaShlishi, the third principle, postulate a incorporeality which is on a lower degree, even according to the words of the Rambam himself? That's my question. In other words, the order of the Yud Gimel Ikrim is backwards. The Rambam should have began with the Yisod HaRishon, which is God existence. Then he should have Yisod HaShlishi should be Yisod HaSheni, that's incorporeality, because Baruch Hu is not a goof, it's not body, it's not physical. And then he should have began with Yisod HaSheni should be Yisod HaShlishi. In other words, you should invert 2 and 3, because that's in the words of the Rambam, that's a higher notion of God's incorporeality and unity.
Why would the higher notion go after the...
Why not?
Why, yes.
If I've told you God is... If I've told you that God is all-powerful, should I tell you that He's powerful? You're listing Ikrim, right? If I told you God is one, should I tell you the next cloud that God is a half?
Maybe that's the way it's proved. First you have to prove.
No. The proof is the Yisod HaShlishi. Once again, the Yisod HaShlishi is the same language used in the proof of God's existence, which is Yisod HaRishon. Number one. So after Yisod HaRishon should come Yisod HaShlishi. It's the same language as the proof that's used in chapter 1 and section 2. And in the words of the Rambam in section 1, Yisod HaShini is a higher concept of incorporeality than Yisod HaShlishi. So why is the order of the principles first Yisod HaRishon, Yisod HaShini, and then Yisod HaShlishi? It should be Yisod HaRishon, which is the Rambam's existence of God, which the Rambam proves. It should be Yisod HaShlishi should come after that, or it should be Yisod HaShini, which is just that God, just that God doesn't have a goof, right? Which comes out of the proof, the same proof as Yisod HaRishon. And then Yisod HaShini should be Yisod HaShlishi. There the Rambam introduces a higher concept of incorporeality. That's my question. The order of the principles, the principles of the Ikrim, right, basically are out of order. Yeah.
Couldn't you ask the question stronger and say, why do we need the third Ikr at all?
Because that's another question. But in other words, I'm willing to say that, in other words, let's go in order. Fine. You know,
if we have one and two, then third.
And you're right. It could possibly be. Well, you could say that maybe the Rambam basically wants to take you to the proof. In other words, the Ikrim, as we're going to see, which I'm going to lay on, and that's where the Ikrim are sort of like axioms and they have to be independent of each other. But at least, you're right, that's a good question. But even if we assume they're not axioms, at least, why list an Ikr, which is a stronger Ikr in the beginning than the weaker Ikr afterwards? I already know it. Okay? And that's my question. So in other words, Yisod HaShini, right, is in Perek Nun Ches, in the Bayon Avuchim, the first Chalek. And that's the highest concept of incorporeality. The Rambam himself says, Omuk Yaseh, right? And he said, HaShlishi is probably the lowest form of incorporeality, right? And that is Yisod HaShlishi. That's the question that I want to ask on the Rambam. Now, I have to admit right now, I don't really have an answer. Okay, so if you're looking for some, you know, bumba, chiddush, I don't really have an answer. No. But what's interesting, though, is that we see the order, in any case, is interesting, because Yisod HaRishon deals with that God created the world. I mean, it's creation. I mean, the necessary cause for the existence of the world. So you would think that Yisod HaRevi, which is Kadmos, that's going to be the fourth principle, you know, creation ex nihilo, that should have come after that. But you see, it's a bit stagnant. First, we speak about, Yisod HaRevi speaks about God's existence, both as the most perfect existence and as the creator in Yisod HaRishon. Yisod HaShini and Yisod HaShlishi deal with his incorporeality. And then Yisod HaRevi deals with creation ex nihilo. We're going backwards and forwards. We go back to creation. And then Yisod HaChamishi basically speaks about worshiping God and the prohibition of avodah zarah, of idolatry. So it's very, very interesting where is exactly the Rambam getting these. In any case, I'm going to try to tell you what I think. I mean, look, I don't have any secret tales for you. I haven't been able to recall anywhere in the Rambam where there's any allusion to such a, you know, why the order should be like this. But I'm going to make a little bit of a guess now. Not a guess. I mean, I'm going to tell you something interesting, and then after that, maybe we'll be able to figure out at least what we can learn from the Rambam. Okay. Now, I have a question. My question is, if the Rambam has proven to me in the first chapter of the second section, he's proven to me that Kadosh Baruch Hu exists. He's the necessary cause of the world, which we create. He exists, and that's the cause of the world. He created existence. And the Rambam has also proven to me that God is not a goof. He's incorporeal. Okay? So that's good. Baruch Hashem. What do I need this total higher unity for? I mean, why? I mean, very nice, you know, but what do I need it? I mean, you know, I'm a from Jew, if I believe it, it's not a body. Ain't no goof, ain't no goof, we say, right, in Yigdal. So, what do I need a higher notion of incorporeality. Why do I need negative theology at all? Why is the God have to be so extreme in negative theology? Just say he's not a goof. That's it. He's not corporal. Right? Now, I'm not sure, but I'm going to make a guess. The Rambam, once again, in the first chelek, the first section of the Mar Nevuchim, the Rambam devotes several chapters to what we consider to be the incorporeality of God, of Kadosh Baruch Hu. And he speaks about these. I think really, it probably, right, it's in the 50s and goes into the 60s. The 50s and the 60s of the chapters. Now, like I said before, the notion of incorporeality, that he's not a goof, is in chapter 55. Okay? And then the Rambam goes on in 56 and 57. 57, he says, he's going to speak about Torahim, which are accolades or descriptions of God. And it goes deeper. There's no descriptions of God. And then in chapter 58, right, he goes and speaks about Omak even deeper. And 58 is where he says that God is one, and it's not like one of anybody can understand. And actually, in chapter 58 is where the Rambam actually states explicitly what's called the negative theology. I can't say anything positive about Kadosh Baruch Hu, only negative. That's what. If you want to say what's the negative theology, that's in chapter 58. Now, 59, he speaks about Moshe Rabbeinu. In chapter 59, Perek Nun Tes, in the Schwartz edition, page 147, he speaks asking people Shlomo Melech and Moshe Rabbeinu. He speaks that Moshe Rabbeinu reached the highest understanding of this negative theological concept of God. That's what Rambam speaks about Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, very nice. Now, in chapter 54, go back to chapter 54, which is Perek Nun Dalet, page 130. This is in the first Chelek of the Mar Nevuchim. He goes through the entire dialogue between Moshe Rabbeinu, right, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at the end of in Parshas Kisisa. Remember, there's an entire dialogue, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu, he says, right, had two bakashas. Right? He said two bakashas, right? One bakasha was he wanted to know atzmusai. Amisus Mahusa is a lasha. He wanted to know what is the essence of God. He wanted to know God and of himself. And the second request he makes is, right? Well, it's the second type of request he makes. He says he wanted to know God's accolades. In other words, he wanted to know that Kadosh Baruch Hu to teach him, you know, about himself, how we describe the descriptions of God. Now, it's interesting that he makes, what he does is, he makes this, the first request he makes is, Hodiyani Naras Drachecha V'de'ach Laman Emzachem Be'nechem. That's in Shmoy Slabet Gimel, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Right? And he says, Hodiyani Naras Drachecha V'eida, he wants to know about God's descriptions. Right? Okay? Laman Emzachem Be'nechem. Okay? Now, okay? And then he asks, well, let me finish. He wants to know about God's descriptions. And goes on the Rambam, right? You have a little bit of a, right? The Rambam says, right? And then he asks the Chila for Klal Yisrael. It was, he asks, I want to know your descriptions. Klal Yisrael, the Gemara says he wants to know why it's not a Ferali, whatever. But anyway, in any case, the Rambam says, I want to know your descriptions. These are described God. Maybe these are moral descriptions. And he also asks the Chila for Klal Yisrael for the Chet HaEgel. And says the Rambam, on the request to know God's descriptions, God doesn't answer him. He answers, but he does say, I'm Michael Klal Yisrael. Okay, now, you know, there's a saying, if you don't try it first, try for hire. Then, the Rambam then after Moshe Rabbeinu is not answered on his request for the descriptions, but his answer request for the Bechila, for this of Klal Yisrael, then he asks the second, which is the bigger question. I want to know what you're, I want to see your essence. I want to know who you are. Right? The Rambam calls it Atzmusoi, Abisas Bohusoi. And then, says the Rambam, he's answered on the first question, Hodyani Nas Drachecha. What does the Kodesh Baruch Hu do? He says, Ani Avia Kol Tuvi Apanecha. In other words, on the request that you want to know my essence, because the answer is L'suchel L'rasas Pana. You can't see my face. No one can see me and live. But on the question, on the incorporeality question you asked first, I'm gonna answer you, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, Ani Aveh Kol Tuvi Apanecha. And says the Rambam, what's Kol Tuvi Apanecha? So the Rambam explains how HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu the entirety of the creation, the grand unified field theory of everything. That was biology, chemistry, physics. He showed him the unity of the entire physical creation. And from that, Moshe Rabbeinu was able to glean, to see the ethics of God, the ethical content of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's acts. So once again, let's summarize. In other words, Kadosh Baruch Hu asks, I want to see how you describe, which means he probably wants a description of God's actions, maybe even his ethical actions. He's denied that. God doesn't answer him. But he does answer him. I'll be Moshe Klai Yisrael, I'll forgive Klai Yisrael. Then he does answer him. Then Moshe Rabbeinu shoots for higher. I want to see who you are. Show me your essence, who you are, who you really are. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, that which you ask for my essence, I can't show you. You can't see my face and live. But what? I'll grant you the question you asked earlier. I'm going to show you the entirety of the creation, the entirety of the scientific truth, the ontology of all of creation. And from that, you'll be able to learn by ethical actions. And this leads, says the Rambam, to what's called the Yud Gil Midas HaRachamim. So the Rambam, that's the Rambam. Now, what's very interesting is that it's interesting is that Tayahim, descriptions of God, are in a certain sense connected with Eichlin Yisrael Ashlishi. Because even though we can't describe God himself, we can describe his acts, like the Rambam says in chapter 52 in Paraglin Beis. We can describe God's acts. But what's The second question they ask him, I want to see your essence, right? Because we say Hashem Echad, Kol Yisrael says that I can't show you. And that's related to the Yisrael Hashemi. Now, we see something very clearly in the Meir of the Vuchim and the Rambam. Why do I need such an extreme form of monotheism? That's the question I asked, right? Just say God is son of a goof, that's it. Some people don't even believe that today, but I'm saying is just say the son of a body. What do I need this negative theology? The Rambam seems to be saying here in this Perek Nun Dalet, that it's only on the basis of this negative theology can I have divine ethics. That's what the Rambam seems to be saying. The Rambam saying is, only when you reach this level that you're aware of God's night, his indescribability, the negative theological unity of God, can I begin to understand God's ethics within the creation. And of course, according to the Rambam, the only thing I can describe about it is both with his acts in creation. Which means that it's almost as if the negative theology of the Rambam, right, is actually related to the possibility of what's called a divine ethics. That's what appears in the Rambam. Now, you're going to say to me, well, that, you know, how do you get that from that? I claim there's another part in the Meir Nevuchim when he says that too. At the very end of the Meir Nevuchim, in chapter 54, the Rambam speaks about different levels of perfection. Right? Different level of perfection, right? And the fourth level of perfection, first level, third level of perfection, right, is the Shleimus Milas Ha'oifi, which the Rambam speaks about is the mitzvahs. And then the fourth level of perfection on page 6 of the Perkundal in the third Chalik, which is page 673 in the Schwartz edition. The fourth level of perfection is intellectual perfection, which I would assume what? Would be negative theology, it's intellectual perception. Because that's the intellectual perfection of Moshe Rabbeinu. But then says the Rambam, after that, you should know something, there's another law of perfection, which is ethical perfection. And then the Rambam mentions the pasuk that on page 675, Hodiyani Nas Terachecha, imitating God ethically. The Rambam says that this is the last chapter of the Moreh Nevuchim. Very interesting. He says it twice in the Moreh Nevuchim, and the same lashon. Meaning is that it seems to be very clear that the whole purpose of the negative theology in the Rambam is to allow for the existence or the possibility of what he feels is ethics, which means man imitates God, imitati odei. Man imitates God ethically.
In the 13...
That's your Gemara mitzvahs, whatever. In general, chesed, everything like that. Or not, even more than that, what the Gemara says in the Saita, right? So I want to say, right? Given that factors, it seems to me that this is for sure, and this is not something, and it's clear that this is not something I get just from because Baruch God not having a God. It's not enough. I have to achieve what's called the perfect level of chachma, of wisdom, of intellect, and only then can I begin to imitate God ethically. In other words, God's just in corporeality, not having a goof, is not enough. Yeah.
It would seem that negative theology kind of negates any type of comparison or any type of imitation of God. So,
you have to imitate God's acts, his acts in nature. But you have to, that's what I think. Now, the fact is that I have a deal like this in the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah. In Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Perak Aleph, the Rambam speaks about Avraham Avinu having discovered monotheism. And there, the Rambam is a lashon, I don't have the Mishnah Torah in front of me, but I'll... In Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Perak Aleph, the Rambam speaks, famous Perak Aleph, the Rambam speaks about the history of Avodah Zarah, and he speaks about Avraham Avinu, and he speaks about that Avraham Avinu by himself came to a proof of God's existence and incorporeality, right? He actually summarized the proof in that's the Halacha Gimel, right? And the Rambam says, and the Rambam's a Lashon, they want to kill Avraham Avinu, right? And he says, V'libo mishoitid m'nevevin ad shehisig derech ha'emes v'hevin kav ha'tzedek midaito hanachoina. He has two phrases here. Derech ha'emes, v'heivin kav ha'tzedek. Now, derech ha'emes is what? That's probably existence of God, and it is incorporeality. What's kav ha'tzedek? Ethics. L'man yisav es bonav, it's a pasuk in the Torah. Which means, even though the Rambam speaks about Avraham Avinu coming to proofs that God is a first cause, and he's not corporal, and he's not physical. But at the end, what is the Rambam, Avraham Avinu, according to the Rambam, comes up with two things. It comes up with Derech Emes and Kav HaTzedek. Now, Derech Agav, we spoke about Kant last week. I have the Yekis here. I want to tell you that I think Kant has a quote, Lectures on Philosophical Theology. Whatever it is. And then he actually says there, that monotheism is a prerequisite for ethics. Kant says that. I'm not, like I said before, I'm not sure his monotheism is the Rambam's monotheism, but even, That is, I'm looking for Haskama, but Kant says it too, which means that what I'm saying makes sense too. Anyway, now, maybe that was the bracha that Shushan von Hirsch made on the Kant, but anyway. In any case. So now, if that's true, it comes out, I want to claim, there's an interesting pattern we get in the Yud Gimel Midas. Okay, interesting pattern. Because the Yesod HaRishon is actually the existence of God. God is a creator. The Yesod HaSheni, even though it's the negative theology, it's really a basis for divine ethics. And then, as we go on, it's interesting, Yesod HaShlishi, of course, is that God is not corporal, but then, right? He's not a god. Yesod HaAvi is going to be Bria Yeshmiayin, which is really a basis for what? For actual human free will. We'll learn about that. Krishna Kshetra is necessary for God to have free will, and therefore men have free will. Yesod HaChamishi is already the prohibition of worshipping anyone but a Kodesh Baruch Hu. In other words, what the Rambam seems to be developing, in my opinion, is that there's clearly two lanes here. There's the incorporeality of God, the existence of God. God is a creator. But also, God is the basis of ethics. I think that's what Rambam is doing. He doesn't say it. And you said a sheni. But we see in the way of Nevuchim that this is the logical conclusion of the sheni. For example, there's a question that's asked, right, how come the Rambam doesn't bring bechira, free will, in the 13 principles? I mean, he says in Perikei and Hilchos Juve, Yisoid, Gadol Batera, why is it not here? I say it is here. It's in Yisoid Aravi, creation ex nihilo. Because if God doesn't create the world ex nihilo, if the world is eternal, certainly in the sense of Aristotle, then God is bound by the laws of nature, right? And therefore God is not free. If the Rambam says explicitly in chapter 25 of section 2, that according to Aristotle, God is not free to do miracles. If the world is eternal in the Aristotelian sense. So in other words, so where is free will? It's in the 13 principles. But where is it? It's Yisrael Aravi. So in other words, what the Rambam is doing is that in 13 principles, he seems to be speaking about God. But really, in fact, the consequences are consequences for man, namely man's ethics and man's free will.
You're saying like number two refers to the Tzelem Elokim?
No, I didn't say that at all. No, number two has nothing to do with Tzelem Elokim. Tzelem Elokim is intellect.
Last time,
Tzelem
Elokim
is the
act of perceiving God.
Tzelem Elokim is where we imitate God intellectually. But Yesod HaSheni is different. That's ethical. I can perceive,
It's not related to the Tzelem Elokim.
No, it's not. I mean, you know, I guess, I'm sure in a general sense it is, since Tzelem Elokim allows men maybe to understand the negative theological existence of God, so because of that I get from that, but it's not, you know, it's not, Rambam doesn't, in no way more in the Vulcan when the Rambam equates Tzelem Elokim with ethics. But,
so just to clarify, you're making a comparison between, you mentioned Kvoidech and Rachecha.
Right.
You're saying that they correspond to Yisoid Beis and Yisoid Gimel, is that what you said before?
No, I'm saying like this. Yisoid HaSheni, which is Kvoidecha, but a consequence of that is enables me to know the Rachecha. That's what Rambam says in chapter 54.
Right.
And the Rambam at the end of the book says the same thing too. After I've reached intellectual perfection, which L'chaim should be Yesod HaSheni, I mean, that's what Moshe Rabbeinu reached, then says the Rambam, I could reach moral, ethical perfection, which is, the Rambam says in 54,
Hodiyani. But that's nothing to do with Yesod Gimel?
No, nothing to do with Yesod Gimel. So in other words, Yesod HaSheni is a conception of God that allows me to be ethical. And in other words, Yesod HaAvi is a kind of God which allows me to have free will. So the Rambam is actually, right, laying down the basis for the possibility of man's ethics. And by the way, these ethics are not necessarily what's called mitzvahs. You know, what's mitzvahs, it's interesting, the Rambam, these are sort of like basic ethics, divine ethics, but they're not called mitzvahs. The Rambam clearly distinguishes these in chapter 54, because the min hashlishi, which is perfection, right, is that's the Rambam says roiva mitzvahs, is the min hashlishi. After min haravi, which is intellectual perfection, maybe it's the min hashlishi, whatever it is, and then comes imitating God ethically, which seems to be like a more general type of ethics.
Ethics is how you is dealing properly with your fellow man.
Whatever it is, yeah, or, right, part of that, right. But it's not necessarily mitzvahs. It's not only, you know, mitzvahs per se. In other words, it seems to be like a general type of ethics. To be a mensch. You know, the general type of ethics.
And that didn't exist until Hashem showed it to Moshe Rabbeinu?
I'm not saying, no, I'm sure the others were like that, but, I mean, I chose you from Avinu, said like that, but it's no question about it, the Rambam, high Baha'i Talia. In other words, no question about it, monotheism and ethics are connected with the Rambam. In other words, ethics is, general ethics is the most important consequence of monotheism.
Okay, if they're not part of the
mitzvahs,
then you don't need a revelation for that.
Yeah. And right, I'm saying, you know, and I mean, all I'm saying is that, in other words, the Rambam, I just want to say that so in other words, why, in fact, in other words, look, I don't know why the Rambam listed Yisrael Yekamir, I don't know. But I'm saying is, what is an interesting thing to note is that Yisrael Sheini is really, in my opinion, a basis for understanding that not only is God the first cause, the most perfect being, he's actually the most ethical being. And his ethics are those ethics which man's goal is to emulate. That's really, in other words, that's the most important consequence of Yisrael HaShem.
That's relating to Yikudo, to the second Iker.
Right, now the third Iker,
which is beyond actions, but yet in terms of ethics, we're supposed to imitate God's actions, and from there we're supposed to understand ethics.
No, that's well, by imitating God's acts in nature, that's how we learn to be ethical. In other words, the Rambam says that all of God's ethical attributes can actually be viewed as part of nature.
Is that not more connected to the third Iker?
What?
Isn't that not the...
No. The third Iker just means Kodesh Baruch. You can't see a Kodesh Baruch. He's not a goof. He's not a body. He's not corporal. But, in other words, in the Rambam, where we see that the Rambam launches into ethics in the Mor Nevuchim, is really by something closer to what's called the Yisrael
HaSheini. So, basically, the essence of God is related to the second Iker, and actions are related to the third Iker.
Well, in other words, Yisrael HaSheini, it means that there's ethical content. There can be ethical content in the world,
and that's related to essence of God.
What?
And that's related to essence of God.
That's right. That's related to the essence of God. Since God's essence is totally unknowable, it's negative. So therefore, there can be ethical content in the world.
And actions.
So now, what's Yisod HaShlishi? I'm going to make this clear. Yisod HaShlishi is, I have to describe God. How do I describe God? I can't describe God himself, says the Rambam. So what's Nun Beis, how do I describe God? I describe by his what? By his acts of nature. I know how to be ethical from his acts of nature. In other words...
Is ethics the second or the third?
No. But I was like this.
The source of ethics is the second.
The source of ethics is the second. But then, right, if I want to know how to be ethical, right? So how do I know about God's ethics? I look at what God does in nature. Now, but I have to be able to describe God. How to describe God? So, it turns out that I can describe God's acts. I can't describe God himself in any corporal way, but I can describe his acts. And that's going to be what I'm allowed to do in the Yisrael HaShlishi.
And why is essence the source of his essence, is, right? Is, why is that the source of ethics?
So that's a good question. That's a good question. The Rambam doesn't answer that. The Rambam just repeats this. Is this clear? That's not clear. Well, let me go back over again like this. Yisrael HaShini creates the possibility that God is the source of ethics, and the source of ethics is the world.
What does source of ethics mean?
That I could see ethical content in the physical world, God's creation. God, by creating the world, right, creates a world which is the source of ethics.
And what's ethics?
Ethics is imitating God's acts in the world. That's what the Rambam says, at the end of paragraph 54.
So the second is God's ethics and the third is human ethics?
No. Once again.
The second is the source of
the second, the Yisrael HaShem is the philosophical basis by which we can make the claim, right, that there are ethics that are inherent in God's creation. That's clear from chapter 54 in the first chelik and 54 in the third chelik. Now, however, if I want to look at the creation and see.
No, 54
in the first section, there's a connection between God's monotheism and ethics. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. Harin Az Kvodecha. Kodesh Baruch Hu answers Moshe Rabbeinu, you can't see my essence, but I'm going to show you ethics. In chapter 54 too, but in the third section, the same thing too. After intellectual perfection, I learn ethics. So in chapters 54 of section 1, chapter 54 of section 3, that's where I get this connection between negative theology and ethics. Now, therefore...
Negative theology and ethics.
Right, no, it's got the unknowability of God.
The third ikar in ethics.
No, the second ikar is negative theology. The third ikar, once again...
Third ikar is non-corporality of God.
Right, but the basic, there's not a goof, but the real spitz, the mouse, the essence of God is being one, that's the soda sheni.
Well, both the say sheni and the shishi are negative theology to some degree.
In chapter 54, when Moshe Rabbeinu says, Hanes Kavodecha, he's not asking about the soda shlisi, but the soda sheni. And God says, I can't show you that, but I'll show you my ethics. So in other words, the possibility of ethics being located in the creation comes from Yisrael HaSheni, not Yisrael HaShlishi.
Okay.
However, what? If I want to see, well, where are these ethics? In other words, what ethics are they? How do I find out about God's ethics? So the Rambam says in chapter 54, you look at Kodesh Baruch Hu's acts in the world. How do I know I can describe a Kodesh Baruch Hu? So I have to be able to describe a Kodesh Baruch Hu in order to know his ethics. But I have to know that all I can describe is God's acts. I can't describe God himself. What you say is that? Is that a shlishi? So in other words, if I look at the... Now, maybe because I'm clear now. If I look at the order of the principles, Yud Gimel Ikrim, there's an ethical order. There's the existence of God. That's the first principle. There's the total unknowability of God, which in the Rambam in two places, like we explained, has allowed for the possibility of divine ethics. And Yisrael Shleishi, right, tells me what I can say about God, but what I can't say about God, according to chapter 52 of section 1, is God's acts themselves. It just gets described God himself. And that allows me to know God's ethics. Imitating God, according to the Rambam in chapter 54 of section 3, is basically seeing God's acts of chesed, let's say righteousness, in nature and imitating that.
Okay, can we understand God's ethics or not?
The Rambam says yes in page chapter 54, section 3. Yes. So like this. So now...
We don't understand.
You say you don't understand, but the Rambam says you can't understand it.
And the Rosh Hashanah, they said Moshe Rabbeinu could not understand.
No, you're back. You have to go back to the English here again. Like this. Let me go further. We can see in Rambam says in chapter 54, section 3, we can see in nature God's acts, and we imitate those acts, and that's God's ethics. In chapter 54, he says in section 3. Now, so in other words, if I look at the principles, what are the principles? The principles on the outside seem to be principles of monotheism in God. But really, what are, and they seem to be out of order. In other words, from the God side, the principles appear to be out of order. But from the man's side, they're in order. After I have the existence of God, and of course, what I tell you last week, man is supposed to contemplate the existence of God, right? And then man is commanded, after he contemplates the unity of God, right? Then man is beholden to God's ethics. And then in principle number 3, Yisrael HaShlishi, man now could look to nature, and only look to nature, and only describe God by looking to nature, not describing God himself. And by imitating God's acts of ethics in nature, that's how man becomes an ethical being. And then in Yisrael HaRevi, right, that's going to be what? Free will. So and why is free will important? Because after Yisrael HaRevi comes Chamishi Shishi, that's going to be praying, Ish Chamishi, Shishi is Devoah, Then the voice by Shabbat. Then comes the Torah. It was after man has free will. Now you can be a front. Now you can do mitzvahs. Now you can do mitzvahs. Which means, let's go even further. If I look at God's the levels of human perfection in chapter 54, we're going backwards. Right? We're going backwards. Right? First, in other words, I have, in other words, well, first I have intellectual perfection, then I have ethics, right? Then I'm going backwards to the mitzvahs. So what the Rambam is doing, this is what I, look, I don't know if he's really doing this, but this is certainly what we get out of the Rambam is, the Rambam is actually, in a certain sense, creating a continuum, a philosophical continuum, from God to ethics to mitzvahs. That's what he's doing in the 13 principles.
You're basically suggesting an exoteric and an esoteric reading of the...
No question about it.
And we're really discussing the esoteric reading, which makes sense in order.
Right.
At least on an exoteric level, he seems to be talking about the nature of God.
That's right.
We're saying in Akhenamim, we don't really understand why this is in that order,
right.
on that level of understanding.
Right, right. But that's not what claim. That's not what claim. In other words, what's very interesting is that... And it's an exoteric and esoteric two levels of meaning. I would say it's a very interesting thing because, you know, it's interesting. The essence of Judaism is mitzvahs. It's commandments. It's not theology. So the Rambam in theological axioms has really, in a certain sense, masked the true ethics of mitzvahs of Judaism, which is ethics. That's what the Rambam has done. Anyway, that's what I want to claim. Is this clear? I want to claim this is the order of the 13 principles. Now, can I make a shvur chamura? This is what the Rambam meant. Look, you can make a shvur. I don't know. The Rambam doesn't say it anywhere. But if you look in the Meir Nevuchim, it's very, very interesting, because if you look in the Meir Nevuchim, right, the Rambam every time he brings up the negative theology, right, and intellectual perfection, like fouls it almost immediately with the discussion of ethics.
In the first Chelik, where does it mention that?
In chapter 54.
Where does it talk about, where does it equate actions or knowing God's actions with ethics? I think in third Chelik 54 it does, but when...
54, Moshe Rabbeinu asks, Harinos Kavadecha.
Right, so that could just be knowledge of God. Where do we see ethics of God?
Because he says that Rambam doesn't give him an answer to Harinos Kavadecha.
Right, so he tells him...
But he says, I'm going to show you my drochen, and Rambam says that's the ethics of God. And that's from the creation.
Where does Rambam say that that's the ethics of God? I see that it says that.
Go on, friend. Go on, the whole thing. The Shoshas Emidus of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. First he says, the Rambam says he's showing the entire Bria.
Right.
And from that you can get the Shoshas Emidus of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. He says explicitly.
Isn't that Hanhaga? Isn't that the way that God... Isn't that God's actions?
That's God's ethics. Shoshas Emidus is God's ethics.
So are we automatically going to assume that actions and God's Hanhaga is God's ethics?
That's right, Avada.
So Rambam doesn't need to say it. I mean, does Rambam say it, or we kind of just assume that from the fact he says...
No, the Rambam speaks about ethics. He speaks about ethics. The Shlosh Rachum Chanun, what are that? What's Rachum and Chanun? That's God's ethics.
But I thought Rambam in next theology explains that we can't really answer Rachum and Chanun.
Listen to me. In chapter 54, he brings the same pasuk, Hadrenas Rachecha, and speaks... Okay? He brings the same pasukim. In Perek Nun Dalet, Chedek Gimel, he brings the same pasuk, Hadrenas Rachecha, it speaks about man imitating God's ethical actions. In there. It's the same thing. Yeah. Anyway. So I made a valiant attempt to make sense of what I see this totally illogical, baseless order. And we've actually made ethical sense of a difficult theological order, which is good. We're supposed to come out better people. That are Jews. But what's interesting is, I just have one more thing to say about it, which is interesting is that, so, the 13th principle, why doesn't, in other words, I mean, the question we begged is also, why didn't the Rambam speak about free will? Why didn't the Rambam speak about ethics and nature? Why? You know, the Rambam just spoke about this explicitly. You know, he speaks about this in the Meir Nevuchim. He speaks about free will in the Meir Nevuchim. He speaks about free will in the Yad HaChazaka. Why didn't he speak about it here? So, It could possibly be, right? It could possibly be, is that, in other words, one could say that the Rambam here wanted to give the what's called the theological foundations of things. In other words, the proper understanding of God would allow a person, right, to in fact actually, you know, Rambam could have understood that this is the logical foundations of what he felt would be, you know, ethical actions which can be ended by the Torah. But I want to, it could sound like this, in other words, but that begs the question. In other words, why say it explicitly? You know, why not say man has free will? But I wanted to say that, you know, it's interesting that Bob Bonnell, the race at the end of Reish HaMonah, asked the question, why did the Rambam write the Yigimalikri? It gives actually two answers. One answer is he wrote it for Rambam Hatzim. That's one answer. Or he wrote the Yigimalikrim as a way of, you know, I'm saying that we also have a theology. You know, we also have a theology too. People thought only Christianity and Islam have theologies. We have theology too. That's what the Bible also says like that. I want to say a third answer like this. It could be that the Rambam understood that with the theology, let's say, of Christianity, which certainly violates a sort of sheni, sort of shlishi, with these theologies, it would be impossible. In other words, it could be the Rambam would have said it, but in other words, with a violation of these yesodas in different religions, it would be impossible for a person to be ethical. In other words, what Rambam held is that first, you know, sumei rav asei toif. First, believe in this, because, you know, what the other religions will also claim to be ethical too. But they violate the first yesodas. So the Rambam says, look, in other words, sumei rav, first of all, don't accept their theological premises. Only answer on sumei rav, right, is a possibility of asei toif. They don't, you know, in other words, it's like an introduction to the Torah. In other words, sumei rav, in other words, don't avoid the theological pitfalls, either of maybe Aristotelianism, good philosophy, or of Islam, or of Christianity. And then, once I've avoided these theological pitfalls, then I could begin to believe in Teres Moshe. That's what I would think is the,
There's nothing in the first four Ikrim that contradict Islam.
There is. The second one.
I'm not sure the Seder Sheni is in that.
Because Islam believes God.
And I'm not sure. Krishak's Neil Lot too? I don't know.
Did he talk about Islam? He talks about aspects of God.
In any case, I don't know.
Certainly Christianity is out.
Christianity is out, yeah. Maybe Islam will actually be Teres Moshe. It's interesting. The Ritva, Pesachim, I think Chav Gimel, the Ritva has the question, what happens if a person is faced to be put to death and, you know, to become Islam. So Ritva says that even though it's out of the Zara, it's connected to Teres Moshe. So that might be the second part of the
principle. Don't they believe God has Midos, Islam?
Well, the Rambam attacks them too. Maestro Rambam attacks them too in negative theology too. He says that the Midos of Islam are no better than Christian theology too. The Rambam says that. But okay, fine. But anyway, that's what I would have to say.
So what? The Rambam's in the middle of explaining why free will is not included in the...
Because I think, once again, in other words, if I believe in Aristotle's let's say eternity, I can never believe man has free will, because God doesn't have free will.
In other words, the whole package is to enable free will.
Right. In other words, I have to believe these things of God in order to believe that I have free will. If I believe that God, the world always was, and God is restricted by the laws of nature, I can never believe that God has free will, and therefore man can have free will. The Rambam says explicitly in chapter 25, section 2. Okay, we're going to stop over here. I think we're just about up. From an undisclosed location, Shlomo HaKadosh, Hakadosh Baruch Hu.